So we're in, let me see here, 1 Samuel in chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25, and the story that we've been looking at, and this is going back quite a while now, before Christmas, I think, is the story of Nabal, the foolish man who's married to a wise woman, Abigail. And you remember the story, David has been out in the wilderness with his men, and there is a rich man that has a lot of flocks, and David and his men have been protecting them in the wilderness, and rightly so, they went to Nabal to ask that Nabal would provide some provisions for David and his men in the wilderness, and Nabal not only refuses to do that, but he's very rude to David and his men. And so if you look at verse 12, David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. All right, David's leaving 200 of his guys, only needs 400 to go up against Nabal. And he's basically going to Nabal to annihilate him and take care of him. Nabal had shunned David's goodness. Nabal would taste of the wrath of God's anointed. You know, our world ought to recognize that the way they treat Jesus matters. You know, they can't just spurn him and mock him and curse him and think that someday it's going to be okay. They've offended a holy God. They've offended the anointed one of God. And just like in our story here, there's wrath that is coming upon them. And they ought to hear that. They ought to hear the feet of the infantry of God, even as it were, coming against them. But the first overtures, as in our story, that God gives is an overture of love, a desire to get along with men, have a right relationship with men. And so the Bible says in John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus came as God's sacrificial lamb. There's a day that he's coming as a lion of the tribe of Judah. But he is presently that lamb that would shed his blood so that we can live. God's mercy is extended to us, but someday those that don't taste of the mercy of God will certainly taste of his wrath. Now, Nabal's not going to have a lot of time to regret his decision to spurn David. The end is coming very quickly, and in a sense, it could have come by the wrath of David, though God's going to do something else. And so Nabal's a foolish man. He's going to reap his folly. And now in our story, we're further introduced to his wife. You might remember that we saw about his wife that she was a very godly woman, a woman of great character. Verse 3, it says, now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. All right, so it's very interesting, this marriage, that there is a very foolish man and there is a very godly and wise woman. And I think it speaks well to the character of Abigail, that she could be in a marriage like that, be faithful in a marriage like that, but be a woman herself of tremendous character, tremendous wisdom. And now we're coming up. We're going to look more at the story, more at who Abigail is. But let's pray and ask the Spirit of God to help us as we come to the Word of God. Father, this is your time, and I present this for God's glory and pray that Spirit of God would help me as I teach our Bible lesson this morning about the life of Abigail. I pray, Father, that you speak to our hearts. She is a tremendously wise woman. There's a lot that we can learn, men or women, from the life of this lady. And so we praise God for her and look forward to sharing this truth this morning. But we pray for the Sunday school class. God, would you bless you? This is short. She works with the children that she has this morning. Father, our audience is the audience that you gave us. And so we say praise God for your goodness. But Father, may we minister to each one that is here. And Father, truly feed them the word of God. So we pray you bless that class and work in that class this morning as we ask you to speak here this morning. I can't speak without your enablement. So I pray the Spirit of God would guide me as I speak. And that you give us ears to hear. Give us grace to take in the truth of the Word of God. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so the wise woman Abigail. Abigail shows her wisdom, first of all, by listening to those that would come to her. One of the shepherd boys is going to come to her and report what has taken place. So look at this word here, verse 14. It says, but one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying. All right? This guy thinks, right, my boss, Nabal, is a very foolish man. His wife is wise. I'm going to go to his wife because this is bad. The way that he treated King David, future King David, God's anointed, is terrible, and there's wrath coming. So what do I do? And apparently, Abigail was approachable. And that this man knew that, okay, I can't talk to Nabal, he's a fool, but he's got a wise wife, and she's approachable. So I can go to her and speak to her about the problem that we have. And so he faithfully reports Nabal's folly. Again, at verse 14, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. Okay, Nabal said, remember, who is David? Is he just some dog that ran away from his master or something like that? You know, and he just acted as, almost as if David's nobody and I haven't really heard about him. But this young man comes and all he does is say, hey, David sent men to our master, and Abigail knows exactly who this is. David is very well known in everything that he's done for King Saul, and it's well known how the situation has broken down there with King Saul and David. And so he says, David's men came to speak to Nabal, and he treated them meanly. He railed on them. To rail is to swoop down upon, to fly at. You know, so he's telling this wife about this, and she doesn't go, oh, that's shocking. Why would my husband act like that? That is so out of character, you know, for him. It's rather that, oh, she expects it. Because that's the way he is. He is just a churlish man and a foolish man. You know, there's a lot of stupidity and folly. I mean, that was a very foolish thing, but also a very stupid thing for Nabal to do, to attack the future king in the way that he did. Yeah, have you ever heard the saying, playing with fire? Playing with fire? If somebody is just touching something or messing with something that can destroy them or really hurt them. I remember, sadly, in my youth, that my brother and I, at times, we'd take magnifying glass and paper plates and we'd be setting them on fire, maybe not in exactly a safe environment like we should have if we're doing something like that, but just being a little foolish with something that could really cause a problem, really hurt somebody, or even perhaps kill somebody. You know, a fool is somebody that plays with fire. They mess with something that can destroy their life. Proverbs 14:16 says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. But the fool rageth and is confident. There's like his messing around with drugs, messing around with alcohol, messing around with immorality, pornography, or things like that. And in doing so, they're playing with fire. They're playing with something that could destroy their future, destroy their life, or even take their life. And that's Nabal. Nabal has said something and done some things that just are going to deeply impact his future. And so this servant comes. He faithfully reports that. Then he accurately reports David's servant's kindness, all right? As he speaks about the testimony of how it was out there in the field and what was taking place with David's men, it says in verse 15, but the men, David's men, were very good unto us, and we were not hurt. Neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. You know, as long as they had been out there in the wilderness, the experience of Nabal's servants had been, these guys are great. What a blessing to have these men surrounding us, protecting us, keeping us, and treating us well. And so he acknowledges it. Nabal refused to acknowledge that. Nabal refused to say anything good about David and his men and what they had done for him. You know, people in our day, and you think about it, the way that they speak about Jesus, do they speak about his goodness and his love and his grace and all the good things that he's done? Or are they more like Nabal, where instead, if they're going to say anything about God, they're going to curse God, or they're going to curse Jesus Christ? You know, Jesus is the one that gave them life, physical life. He's the one that gave them family. He's the one that offers to them eternal life. He's the one that provides for them, and the breath that they breathe is breath that is given to them by God. He offers to them eternal life, purchased on the cross of suffering and death for them. He loved them so much that he suffered and died so that they could live, and offers them the entrance into God's family, into God's kingdom, peace with God, and a new life and hope like we're going to even look at this morning in the morning message. And so Abigail gets it. She hears it. She goes, man, David is good. He's done all these good things. Nabal looks at it and says, I can't see anything good that David's done. And he curses David, listen, how do you respond to God this morning? Does your heart look at it and say God is good and God has done great things and God is loving and God has provided? Or does your heart rail against God just like that fool Nabal? And so Abigail gets it. This young man tells her about it. But then he entreats for Abigail to intervene because they're in danger. And so verse 17, it says, "Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." All right? And then if you said to this servant, go speak to Nabal about this, he'd say, no way. It's pointless. There's no point to go up to this man. The man's a fool. If you try to speak to him about something his mind is set against, and it's just like, it's pointless. It's worse than pointless. They could incur his wrath against you for even trying to confront him with the truth. You know, sadly, his folly is going to hurt his family. Just like he said, evil is determined against our master and against all his household. You know, and our foolishness or foolhardiness is going to hurt us, right? If a man is a husband is a fool, it's going to hurt his wife and hurt his kids. If a wife is a fool, it's going to hurt her husband. It's going to hurt her kids. If a kid is a fool, it's going to hurt his parents. It's going to hurt his siblings. It's going to hurt maybe others. Why? Because that's what happens with foolhardiness. Proverbs 14 verse 1 says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." You know, why would somebody do that? I mean, it makes sense that we want to build up our house, make our house strong. It's a very sad thing when somebody is foolish and by their folly tear down what could have been a great life, could have been a great family because of their foolhardiness. And so Abigail's going to respond. And Abigail quickly goes into activity to avert a calamity. And here again, she shows her wisdom. She immediately gets involved in trying to solve the problem that's going to hurt her household. Proverbs 22, verse 3 says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." All right, somebody that's wise looks at it and goes, right, I get that. You know, drugs, alcohol, drink, wrong friends, pornography, immorality, you know, vileness and wickedness, that's going to destroy. That's going to hurt my life. That's going to hurt my family. That's going to hurt everything that I want that's good in life. And so, right, I'm not going to go down that path. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be in that place. Why? Because that will destroy. I'm going to seek that which is good. I'm going to seek after God. I'm going to seek to really build my life up in the things of God. And so Abigail looks at this and says, right, I'm going to do everything I can to protect my family. I'm going to do everything I can to get this right. And so she prepares a peace offering. Verse 18. "Then Abigail made haste, and she took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs, and she laded them on donkeys." Okay, so the donkey train comes out. They're harnessed up. She takes all these goods, all this food, all this provision that David had asked for, and she takes it and she puts it upon these animals in these packs to head to David. You know, the saying is, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, right? And she sees this, and she's going to provide for these men. They're hungry, they work, they deserve it, and she's going to put it together, a tangible expression of sympathy with him, that he was right in asking for these things, and she's going to meet that need. And so she prepares it. Then she wisely activates a plan. She takes the servants, tells them to go ahead. Verse 19, she said unto her servants, "Go on before me. Behold, I come after you." And that's, again, just a testimony to her wisdom. The gift is going to get out there first. The things that David had asked for are going to get there first and kind of soften the heart of David. You know, with the story of Jacob and Esau, we just read that in our family devotions, and we're reading it right now. We're going to get to the point soon where Jacob is going to meet up with Esau, his brother that hates him, that wants to murder him. And so what does he do? He takes a gift and he sends it ahead of time to Esau to try to make peace with Esau before he gets there to him. You know, again, that's a testimony of this woman's wisdom. The saying that you might have heard of simmer down or let a little steam off, you know, sometimes you got to give somebody a chance to kind of cool off. And Abigail's going to do that with David. And by these gifts, just try to get him to simmer down a little bit and make peace with him. You know, it's not unwise to seek to broker peace in that way, to show kindness, to show favor, to show goodness, maybe even with a gift. Proverbs 21, verse 14, a gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. Now, in the case of a bribe, that would be wrong if you're trying to bribe somebody to get away with something. But, you know, if somebody is really angry, it might be right to say, hey, peace offering. I'm trying to get right with you. And that's certainly right what Abigail's doing here. She's going to meet the need that David has and say, look, we get it, we understand, we were wrong. And so she does that. So she activates that, gets that out ahead of her. And then she doesn't tell Nabal what she's doing. It says, but she told not her husband, Nabal. Now, normally I would suggest that you speak to your spouse about big decisions. If you're going to make a decision, that you take the time as husband and wife to sit down and pray about it, talk about it. But, you know, Nabal is not going to open up the storehouse of his, there at his property for King David. He's already said that he's against that he's not going to do that. It's not going to happen. And if she got into an argument with her husband saying, look, we need to do something, there's every chance that David's going to show up and he's going to take care of things before she ever has a chance to convince her husband that he is in the wrong. You know, again, this is a point of wisdom. Sometimes it's good to discuss. Sometimes it's good for us to work through things. Other times, we might just need to make the right decision and go with it. And so Proverbs 26:4 says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be likened to him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. And you might read that in the Proverbs and you think, wait a second, it says answer not a fool, then it says answer a fool. How do you reconcile those two verses? Well, the answer is sometimes it's right to speak to a fool and just show him, look, you're in a position of folly. Other times, it's probably right not to say anything because it's just going to come back to you and there's just going to be a battle there that's unnecessary and pointless. And so we need to discern the mind of God about that. So she activates that plan and then she goes herself into the field to stop David's evil response. And where we are is in 1 Samuel chapter 25 is where we're at in verse 20. She goes herself into the field to stop David's evil response. Verse 20, it says, and it was so, as she rode on the donkey, that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now, just picture in your mind what's taking place. You got David and 400 men. They are on the rampage. I mean, they are coming in wrath and anger. Their future king has been offended. Their leader has been offended. They themselves have been offended. It's not right the way they've been treated. They are coming to take care of the situation. And now this lady comes, and you got Abigail and her entourage and her donkeys and their stuff and their things, and they're coming in to that place. You know, if you're David and you're looking at that, you look at that and says, this young lady has courage. She's got incredible courage as she rides down to face David. Now, would David respect that? I mean, David is the one that went out by himself to fight against that giant Goliath, and there's no doubt that David would respect a woman that has the courage to ride down herself to face him and his men. They're coming against his property. She's the wife of the man that has so offended him, and she has the courage to come and to face him. You know, I wonder this morning, do you have any boldness to help in the conflicts in your family? See, Abigail looked at it and thought, my family's needs are so great, I got to go do something. Maybe she looked at it, that's the last thing in the world I want to do is ride down against, you know, King David, and the future king, and stand and speak to him with his 400 men and their warriors. But this mama and this wife loves her family, and she's going to have courage, and she's going to take a stand for God. You know, praise God, there's been some bold women in the past. Mary Slessor comes to mind. Born in Dundee, had a drunkard for a father. That man passed away, I think, as she got out of her teen years. God spoke to her heart about going as a missionary to Africa. Mary Slessor was here in Edinburgh for a little while. She left here to go as a missionary to Africa, to the Calabar. But it was a cannibalistic tribal people. And she was a single lady. But you read her story, and she's just courageous young lady that is burdened by the fact that when twins were born, they would kill those babies because they thought there was something demonic about twins, and so they would put them, I think, into jars, basically into big pots, and leave them out, and she would rescue them, and she would interfere with their centuries of tradition of murdering these twins or triplets that would be born. She would go out between warring tribes that were cannibalistic people again, and she would step between them and say, "We're going to sit down, we're going to talk this through." And I mean, she became a leader for Britain over there because she had such a dynamic power, as it were, with these people. But where did that strength come from? The strength from God. It was a woman that looked at it and said, "The need is so great, the cause is so great that I'm going to take a stand and I'm going to do something here." And she got involved. And again, I just ask us this morning: do you have any boldness for your family? There ought to be something in us that goes, "Right, I'm going to fight for my family. I'm not just going to let my family be attacked by the world or be wrecked by the world, or my kids get impacted. I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to do something for God." And so she does that. She gets right down there to David and very boldly comes up to him to speak to him about the need. Now remember, David is incensed against Nabal and his household. The Bible is going to give us insight into what's going on in David's mind, how he's thinking as he's coming into this battle against, as it were, Nabal's home, and he's going to destroy him. And so this is what David's thinking. His men had performed a valuable service to Nabal. Right? And he feels like it's for naught. You know, there's no point. We did all this protecting a sheep in the wilderness, and what do we get? Heartache, you know? It's just, he treats us like nothing. Verse 21. Now David had said, "Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness." All right? There were sleepless nights. These guys were out in all kinds of weather. It's not a nice area where they've been working. It's a wilderness area. Nabal had all this livestock that were out there. If they hadn't done what they did, this man would have lost, I don't know, a percentage of his flocks would have been wrecked, and no harvest for him. But, I mean, they had surrounded him. They had protected him. They'd been like a wall to him. And they had done it well, verse 21, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. Not a single animal had perished. I mean, they had his profits went through the roof. This man had incredible blessing given to him because of David. And then David and his men had always been good to Nabal. Verse 21, "He hath requited me evil for good." It wasn't just that Nabal turned around and said, "Okay, I'm only going to give you this," and he just wasn't very generous. It's that he didn't give them anything, and he treated them like rubbish, and he acted like David was nobody, and that he was worse than nobody, that he was a man that had been disobedient to his master, is what Nabal had said about David. But David's men were good men. They were men that were obedient to God. And so David's upset. He's got 400 men with him. And so just to, again, put the perspective there, Abigail's coming out to a man that is righteously incensed against her husband and her household. And David planned to kill every man on the property. It says, verse 22, "So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light." And the Bible's very frank here. "Any that pisseth against the wall." And sometimes you might read the Bible and think, "Man, that is not politically correct. It's not the way that's appropriate to say something." But the Bible's just being very clear here that David said, "I'm going to go and I'm going to kill every man on that property. They are done because this man is such a son of Belial." And so he's coming, he's got his forces. Notice there's a little bit of dependence upon God, but not full dependence upon God. David's going to do this, but he says, "So and more also do God unto the enemies of David." All right? He says, in a sense, "I want God to take care of my enemies the way I intend to take care of this man. I am going to annihilate him." And so he's referencing God, but he's really not in a position of dependence upon God. He's ready to take matters into his own hands. Now that servant, the young man that came to Abigail and said, "Evil is determined against our master. This is really bad. Our master has offended the future king." Was he right? He's absolutely right. And that wrath is coming. You know, I say praise God this morning for people of discernment that can look at it and go, "You know what? There's a reason to be kind of excited here. There's a reason to sit down and really have a conversation about this and say, it's not okay that we've offended God. It's not okay that men are just going on as if there is no God. And look, I want to get involved there and plead with people and say, look, you need to understand the position that we're in. It is coming. It is coming soon, that judgment from God. And just like Abigail, there needs to be excitement about that. There needs to be a desire to say, I got to do something about this, because wrath is determined. Praise God for people that recognize that wrath is coming. And of all people, and I'm going to preach on this a little bit more in the morning message, of all people, we ought to look around and say wrath is determined against us and against this world. As a church, we ought to look at it and say, right, I cannot just be mediocre in my Christianity. I cannot say, hey, that is enough. I need to be somebody that says, what pleases God? And by God's grace, I don't want to offend the anointed of God. But beyond that, what about all those people that are going to be destroyed by the wrath of God justly when the wrath of God falls? They are under the wrath of God today. And again, as a people, it would be good for us to say, I want to be like that servant. I want to be somebody that recognizes that and goes to somebody that can do something about that, like the Lord Jesus Christ, and begin to plead with him for the mercy that he can get and obtain from God, because wrath is surely coming. So we see that in the story as well. David's really upset, and he's coming. But we know today that God is upset. We know today that hell is real. We know today that evil is determined against our neighbors that do not bow to God and have offended God, just like Nabal, that wrath is coming. We ought to be that person that steps in there and says, right, I want to get involved in brokering peace for them. So there's kind of the servant and Abigail both involved in that. Now, Abigail humbled herself before God's anointed king. Now, Abigail, if I could just put it like this, Abigail's a rich lady, all right? She's got a lot of wealth. Her husband is extremely wealthy, but she's not too proud to humble herself. And again, we see the quality of the character of this woman that, yeah, they had a lot of things, but she's approachable. The servant can come and speak to her, and she's okay with getting down and humbling herself to see the needs of her family met. And so Matthew 23:12 says, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And so today, if I'm willing to humble myself before God, then God can meet my needs. But if I'm somebody that is proud, I'm not going to go to God. I'm not really going to get on my knees before God. I'm not really going to plead with God for my family or my family's needs, because that's really too humbling for me. But if I will allow my heart to break and just get there before God and say, right, I got to obtain God's blessing, where that is found is a humble and a contrite spirit, the Bible says, thou wilt not despise. And so she's not too proud to get there broken before David and humbled before him. And so how does she do that? She quickly got down and she bowed to the future king. Verse 23. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the donkey and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. Okay, David's men came to Nabal, and Nabal said, who is David? He's a servant that ran away from his master. There's many like that. I mean, he treated him horribly, not this woman. The wife of that man gets there, she falls on her face before David. David immediately recognizes, she understands my position. He's the future anointed king of Israel. He has authority that's given to him by God. This woman recognizes that, and that's immediately understandable. She volunteered herself to take the full force of his wrath. Verse 24. And she fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be. Now, praise God for intercessors. An intercessor is somebody that will step in between the wrath against somebody and beg and plead and say, I want to get in that place where let the wrath fall on me. Let it fall on me, but give mercy to this person. And Abigail is just like the Lord in that, in taking the wrath of God for us. And she's just like other godly men in the Bible that got in there and said, you know what, I want to be an intercessor. People like Moses. Exodus 32:32, he's pleading with God. God is angry with his people. And he says, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. He says, hey, I desire, God, you to forgive your people. But look, if not, God, blot me out of your book. Now, if our name's not in the book of life, we're not going to be in glory. That's what the word of God says. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. And Moses said, I'm so interested in seeing God meet the needs of the people that I'm willing to have my name blotted out if God's not going to meet their needs. The Apostle Paul prayed something similar or desired something similar. Romans 9 verse 3. It says, for I could wish that myself were damned, accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul said, I'm so burdened for my Jewish brethren that I would be accursed and damned if that would somehow facilitate their salvation. Again, just like the Lord, that's what Christ did for us. He tasted damnation for us so that we could be saved. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self, Jesus, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. And praise God again for somebody that will step into that gap and say, upon me let that wrath fall, but oh God, spare these people. So there's really a great picture of an intercessor in Abigail. She goes to David and says, David, just let your wrath fall on me and spare my family. And then she asked or entreated an audience with David. It says, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. You know, she's very wise to go to David. And David, please, David's very upset. And she says, please, may I have an audience with you? Please, would you listen to me and what I desire to say to you? You know, sometimes as men, we don't like to admit this maybe, but sometimes we have selective hearing, all right? We don't always hear everything that is said to us. Sometimes my wife will come to me and I'll be at the computer. I'll be typing and working and maybe doing emails or studying. And she'll say, you know, I'm going to run to Tesco or I'm going to run to Little or whatever it is. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, I kiss her goodbye and she leaves. And then about 15 minutes later, I think, where's my wife? You know, where'd she say she's going to go? And I have to really think hard and maybe I can't even remember. But my wife knows this and I need to listen better. But she knows that if I'm preoccupied, I've got a lot going on. And she really needs to get me to focus. She'll say, maybe get my attention a little bit better by saying something like, you need to listen to me, what I'm saying. All right. And she'll tell me something. And then I get it. And see, David is really preoccupied. He's got this offense that's taking place. He's incensed about it. He's going with wrath against Nabal. And again, Abigail's very wise. She's like, can you just please listen to me? Can I have an audience with you? Because I want to share kind of a little bit more that might help him make a better decision in the situation that he's in. And so she gets his attention, and she's going to speak to him. So now she wisely declares the truth. Verse 25, it says, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, this man of Satan, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. All right, she acknowledges David's position. You notice that? She says, my Lord. Again, David recognizes, okay, this is different than Nabal. She's treating with respect, understanding his position. And then sadly, she's got to confess the sins of her husband and say, yeah, he's the fool that you think he is. And maybe this is a surprise to David. David didn't really understand who he was dealing with. Maybe didn't know the full story about Nabal, that everybody understood that Nabal's a fool. And so she's breaking it to him. Look, this guy is a really, really foolish guy. You know, sometimes rather than being upset, we just need to recognize the condition of the person that offended us. Especially as a believer. I mean, there'll be times that we're witnessing to somebody or talking to somebody or maybe online. We faced this past year, some of the online attacks that we've received. But you know what? It helps us if we recognize the condition of that person. Because why would we expect anything else from a fool than blasphemy against God? Why would we expect that they're going to bow down to God and say, hey, that's great, you know, Jesus is king and all this stuff, if they are in their heart in rebellion against God? And so it can help us as Christians even to recognize that, you know, I'm getting a really foolish response there, but you know why? It's because of the heart of the person that is saying it. That's going to help David. It wasn't just that, you know, David had been offended by a man that really made a wrong decision. He had been offended by a man that was just a deeply ungodly man. And that was to be expected. And so maybe that'll help us in our evangelism and stuff, that we not get so discouraged or disheartened. I spoke to that person. They treated me horribly. but that we'd look at it rather and go, what do I expect other than that from somebody that's like them? All right, so that could help us when we're speaking to somebody to recognize the condition of their heart. So she explains that to them. And then she declares her ignorance of the event when it took place. It says, but I, thine handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord whom thou didst send. She goes, I wasn't there. So he's coming in anger. He's going to take care of them. And she's like, you know, I didn't even know about this. I didn't know anything until the servant came and he told me. As soon as he told me, I said, load the donkeys. I said, let's get out there. And I have come as quickly as I can to make things right. You know, praise God. Sometimes as believers, we may not understand something. We may not understand. God is really upset by that. If we treat him like that, maybe if I say those words or I do those things. But as soon as we recognize that we have offended God, We are wise to respond like Abigail and say, I am going to get right with God. You know, if somebody recognizes that they're not saved and it comes to them like, I am not saved, I need Jesus Christ, it's a great thing if that person responds like, I am going to get right with God right now. Or as the Spirit of God speaks to us, maybe in a service, you go, I didn't understand that was that kind of entertainment was wrong, that kind of activity was wrong, that kind of speech was wrong. I didn't really get that, but I get it now. You know what? As soon as I understood, I got right with God. You know, praise God for somebody that has a tender heart like that. And so you look at Abigail, she wants to do what's right. And praise God for people that want to do what's right. They may not get it all right because they may not fully understand. But when they understand, they go, right, I've offended God. I want to get right with God. And we really see that in Abigail. As quickly as she can, she wants to get right. And then she boldly declared that God was stopping David from avenging himself. Verse 26. It says, now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand. Okay, now, I mean, she's stopped there. David has stopped there. And she says this, God stopped you. You're on your way to take it in your own hands. You're going to shed blood. But she is confident that not just she has stopped David, but she's confident that God has used her to stop David. And she tells him that. She speaks to them that God has stopped him from shedding blood, kept him from avenging himself by his own hand. And you know what? She's right. And I wonder at this point in David's heart if he doesn't think back about cutting the robe of King Saul. He took matters into his own hands. Now his men said, kill him, kill him. And he didn't kill him. But remember, he cut that robe. And what happened? He was so convicted about it. Why? Because he had done that to God's anointed, and he had taken matters into his own hands. You praise God, sometimes God will stop us, right? He doesn't always stop us, but there are times where we're on our way to commit folly, do something really stupid that will hurt ourselves, our testimony, our family, and God says, look, well, however he does it, he just puts a roadblock there. We ought to stop and say, praise God, and I stop here, and I yield here. And that's really kind of what's happening in David's life. He's on his way to do something he shouldn't do. He's going to take matters into his own hands. God takes a godly wife that gets out there, shows David his error, and David is going to respond correctly to that, though David was wrong in what he was doing, even though he had been wrong. You know, again, praise God for those providential hindrances, those things that God puts in our way to keep us from going into sin. Proverbs 27, verse 12 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. A wise person, I mean, the stop gate comes up, and he looks down the path and goes, all right, that would have destroyed my marriage. That would have destroyed my family. That would have really offended or hurt somebody. And so praise God, God stopped me. I stopped here. And a meek person can control themselves and can bring everything under strength under control and say, I'm going to obey God. David's a meek man. He didn't have it right. He's on his way to do wrong, but God stops him and he allows himself to be stopped. Praise God again. When God can rein in a man, and a man will stop and yield to God. And so some final thoughts as we come to the conclusion of our Sunday school lesson this morning. First of all, are you a good listener? A good listener. Abigail listened really well. That servant came, he explained the situation. I mean, she is taking it in and she's formulating a plan based on that. As we look at David, and she said to him, listen, he is listening. He's taking it in. We're going to see that. He's going to make a good decision based on that. You know, praise God. God help us to be that kind of listener, an active listener that can take it in and make right decisions. Can you formulate a good plan quickly? I like that about Abigail. Abigail's like, it's like she knew what to do. We need to be somebody like that when it comes to our family. How do I really protect, guard my family? I'm gonna put that plan in place. I'm gonna activate that quickly. And then do you boldly seek to do right for your family? I mean, she had courage going to confront the king, future king. 400 soldiers. But you know what? Praise God again for somebody that'd be bold for the family. Like, this is so great. This matters to my family. I'm gonna do something about this. And then do we have wisdom in the way that we do that with regard to authority? She comes to David. She comes with humility and clarity and wisdom. And she says the right things and she does the right things. Again, praise God for somebody that has that integrity that she had. She's truly a wise woman, married to a foolish man. And it just exemplifies the wisdom that Abigail had. So we'll look more at her next week, because this is not done, all right? We'll find out what happens next week, but it's a good story to look at. A lot we can learn from it here this morning. Let's pray. Father, may the Spirit of God please instruct our hearts. Lord, help us to allow you to help us in our walk with you. There's powerful truth in this passage. Abigail truly is a wise woman. We praise God for her. God, give us grace to evaluate our life. Are we more like Nabal, offending a holy God, or like Abigail, trying to entreat the favor of a holy God? And Father, I pray that the Spirit of God help us get your ear and plead for our families. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.